Good morning. It's 7:24 a.m. Tuesday, September 17th, 2019. Weirdness ensues. Anyway, there's a couple kids on scooters, and some woman in a red Hyundai wagon has them waved over the side of the road. I'm not exactly sure why. But there's a lot of kids moving around today. There's another one on a bicycle. Dude, you're 12. The man bun doesn't exactly cover it for you. Get off my lawn. So what am I thinking about this morning? There's a lot of stuff going through my head this morning. I just watched a video on microbial energy transfer. By a professor from Michigan. It's an interesting technology in the fact that it requires very little by way of technological infrastructure to make it work at its base level. Producing methane from microbial breakdown of waste, animal, vegetable, not mineral, but animal, vegetable, and wherever there are people and animals, there's a lot of waste. And really does not require a high degree of a technological basis to make it actually function. Even if it functions at a low level, the inputs are generally dealing with them are generally a problem, and this takes most of that problem away. And the outputs are of value if you can maintain them, if you can catch them. So methane gases, one of the greenhouse gases, but if we can capture and use it, burn it in the form of light energy, it breaks down the methane. So I don't know what the byproducts of methane combustion are. But it's an interesting technology. My brain is spinning around with it. Like, how much technology do you need to have in order to make this work? I believe those are fire trucks. They are running a little late this morning. I just saw the kids go by earlier than I have been the last couple days. It was a crappy night's sleep, but I figured I better get my butt moving. I got stuff to do today. Today's going to be a day of interruptions. Today's going to be a day of disruption. I'm going to lose most of the morning to taking my kid to get her wisdom teeth out. And then, while she has an apartment, it's up on the third floor, and so she's going to come home and kind of sleep it off a little bit before she tries to walk up two flights of stairs. So she can sleep in her own bed. So I expect she's going to come over, because we're only like 3 blocks from the dentist. And so she's going to come over here and crash for a while. Sleep it off a little bit. I'm going to take her home so she can sleep in her own bed. Morning. That's a big beard. That's a big guy. Big guy with a big beard. So that's this morning. This afternoon, I'm talking to the Boulder Writers Association about going over there to do a program on the 16th of October. Well, it's a busy intersection. Only 2 cars this morning, so it's pretty low key. I don't know what they want to talk about. It's a monthly program they have on, I don't know, second, third Wednesday of the month. It's basically writing for fun and profit. So I've had a couple of people who've been sort of agitated to get me to come over there and do one of these talks. And they told me it was, I ran into one of them at Colorado Gold, and they said, "You were still working to get you over there, so let's see if we can't make that happen." And so, yeah, they do it once a month, October. I think October may be the last one for the season, maybe one November. I don't remember now. I looked it up, but. Brain does not catch details on the first pass, or sometimes even the third pass. But it should be interesting. It should be interesting to go over and see, because these aren't necessarily indie writers, although I suspect a lot of them, given the nature of the topic, I suspect a lot of them are or want to be. So I'm actually kind of looking forward to that. Tomorrow is SIFWA day, so tomorrow I have to play games with Science Fiction Writers of America again. There's not a lot going on. I think we're sort of bracing for the next catastrophe. happen. Get ready. Stay with me. I'm on post. Okay. Yes, on 4C. This is 4C. They're saying the signs popping up all over here. Paid for by growing great schools. Yeah, I figured. A hammer and a pencil. And one of the problems that that Colorado has in general is the Taxpayer Bill of Rights amendment to the Constitution that requires the state to allocate so much funding for elementary education. And while it's good, it's okay, it was enacted when the Colorado economy was growing at double digits. It was massive. It was huge. It was exploding. It was bubbling is what it was doing. And the bubble popped. And then for the last decade and a half, it's sort of been limping along. It's still pretty healthy, but it's just been really limping along. And tax revenues have been down for a while. But because the amount of money that they have to put into public education is dictated by the Constitution of the state, they have to take money away from other things like infrastructure, like bridge repair, like road repair, like their support for higher education, and put it into elementary school, put it into primary, into public school education. And even at that, it's still really too little, as long as we're trying to live up to the unrealistic expectations of No Child Gets Ahead, which is my reformulation of No Child Left Behind. This ain't Lake Wobegon, folks. I don't know how to break it to you, but all of the children cannot be above average. So there's really no way to accommodate the idea of No Child Left Behind as long as the standards are being proposed and enforced by people who don't understand what education is, who don't understand what learning is, who don't understand that holding a teacher accountable for a student not learning is misguided at best. Because there are so many factors that go into a student learning that have nothing to do with the teacher. Socioeconomic status is the best predictor of academic performance. Has been. We've known that for decades. Good morning. Lady with her Scotty dog. She's looking somber this morning. Tell if it's, I think it's black. Could be really, really, really dark blue. The sun's behind a cloud, so I don't have a lot of sunshine this morning. All the colors are really saturated. So the problem with socioeconomic status as a predictor of academic performance is that you can pretty much predict how a school overall is going to perform on these, I use the term loosely, assessments. Good morning. By the number of students, the percentage of students who are on assisted lunch programs. So it has nothing to do with the teacher, it has nothing to do with, very little to do with curriculum. It all has to do with invalid assessments and unreasonable expectations. And politics. So it's really frustrating. I forget how I got going on that rant, I'm sorry. Oh, I don't know, 4C. So it's the 50-cent Mercedes problem. And for those who haven't heard me say this before, say your boss wants a Mercedes Benz. He comes to you and says, here's 50 cents. Go buy me a Mercedes. And the guy says, I can't buy a Mercedes for 50 cents. It's just, that's unreasonable. Can't do it. Okay, if you can't do it, I'll find somebody who can. You're fired. So the next person in line says, here's 50 cents, I need a Mercedes. I'm sorry, I can't buy a Mercedes for 50 cents. It just doesn't work that way. That's not how much they cost. They cost thousands of dollars. All right, if you won't do it, I'll find somebody who can. He fires him. Third guy. All right, I want a Mercedes, 50 cents. Guy says, sure. Takes 50 cents. He goes off. Spends about a month. Boss calls him in the office and says, where's my Mercedes? He says, I'm still working on it, but I think I need more budget. Boss says, Christ, okay. Here you go. I'll double your budget. Here's a buck. Guy takes the dollar, goes out. There's the intersection. Guy takes the dollar, goes out, and finds a new job. By the time the boss calls him into the office to fire him, he's already got a new job, and he goes off to his new job. That's education. We want every child to have a Mercedes level education. We're willing to pay skateboard levels. And we're not really willing to train them to use the skateboards. So it's a frustrating process. It's difficult to deal with. It's not exactly intractable. But the problem is the people making the decisions are too far removed from the facts of the case. They don't understand what's going on. It's like this. There's a Medium post going around about a woman who lost $250,000. She didn't lose it. She blew it. She blew $250,000 from two book contracts. Three book contracts. Something like that. I didn't get far enough into it. It was just, the stupidity was just staggering. I understand people who win the lottery quite frequently go bankrupt. and this is just another instance of somebody being stupid with money. I understand how it works. I understand the impetus. But when you don't manage your money manages you, and eventually it comes tumbling down. And failing to take into consideration the reality that writing is business. Doesn't matter how you publish, writing is business. Start there, writing is business. And how you publish is part of that business. The business is broader if you're publishing yourself, because you have to be responsible for more aspects. Not very many, but a couple. You don't have to have the skills to do it, you just have to be the prime contractor for it. But it's frustrating to see articles like this, because it just feeds into misconceptions about what writing is. It wasn't held up as a cautionary tale, it was held up as, this is why publishing is a mess. Now, publishing is not, well, publishing is a mess, but anyway, you can tell I'm kind of hot this morning. I'm Matt the Back Gate. Tomorrow is another day. With any luck at all, I will talk to you then.